Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. I'm having my shoelaces untied by a puppy dog right now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. The 9th of October, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. So, good morning. Linda is with family that pulled in last night, so leaving today. Always good to see my brother and sister-in-law. I've already given you the time. Phone line's here, 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We've got Jared in there at the booth with the weather.
Good morning. It is currently 49 degrees, and today it's going to be hazy with a high of 78, a low of 58. Tomorrow we have a slight chance of showers with a high of 70, a low of 53. On Sunday it's going to be sunny, or probably smoky, with a high of 77, a low of 50.
Sunny but smoky.
Well, it says sunny, but it's probably going to be smoky. Yeah. And then on Columbus Day, it's going to be a high of 84 and a low of 52.
Okay. Well, the weather report is always brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call, 365-3793. I'd like to do a shout-out to Bill Woodford. In case I haven't done it earlier this week, great guy. Married to a beautiful Tess Woodford. And Bill went through some surgery earlier this week, but he appears to be coming out of that really good, and he's got a lot of friends. He does a whole lot for our community, and we just want to let him know he's being thought of here. And the other part is according to the dictionary, there'll be no mansplaining going on around here. No mansplaining. And you ask yourself, why? Why? Ask me, why?
Why, Carl?
Because it's when a man explains something to usually a woman in a condescending or patronizing manner. Well, the women I know around here, if I tried that, I'd be having some real problems. So no mansplaining going on around here. But here's Jim with
Susie,
who is over here untying my shoelaces, and just an adorable dog. I mean, this is a bundle of love.
Yeah, she really is. She's definitely just looking for a lap to be in, someone to love for sure.
Oh, no. I mean, she comes in, and we tried to figure out what kind of dog she is.
Yeah, and,
definitely no pity in there.
I decided to do something different this week. She looks like a miniature German Shepherd. I'm guessing
with
German
a short
Shepherd.
Tail.
Short tail.
With a dock tail.
Dock tail, short hair.
Yeah.
She looks like maybe a rat terrier, German Shepherd. Who knows?
Maybe some terrier in her, but her ears are not big like a German Shepherd, but they stand straight up.
Yeah.
She's colored like a German Shepherd. She probably weighs, what, 30 pounds?
Yeah, if that.
If that. And she is just a little bundle of energy. She just has greeted everybody.
Yes, she has. She's very social, wants to hang out with every person she sees. She looks like the kind of dog, if you close your eyes, you can imagine her like jumping into your lap.
I just sat down on our stool here, and all of a sudden I have a dog head, going, yes, yes.
Exactly. She sees a hand in reach, she's going to go for it.
She's going to run over and lick your fingers. Oh, no, that is absolutely. Now, if you are looking, if you've got a family, this could be a great dog.
Yes.
Or if she does have energy.
She does, yeah.
She's going to need to have a yard or be able to be walked. But the main thing is she's looking for somebody that wants to give her love back like she's going to give you.
Exactly, yeah. I think her main thing is she's looking for love, but you're right. She's energetic and smart. I think she's really looking for someone who will give her a job or teach her some tricks. Just let her have fun. Let her engage her brain and her mind,
You know what? So she's kind of like, some of our herding dogs, even though she's not a herding dog. But I can see exactly what you mean. If you give her a job, I mean, she will. I mean, you could probably throw a ball 100 times.
Yeah,
and she'd bring it back.
Yeah, your arm would be sore before she was done playing.
Yeah, or you know, it's, but she is. She's not that large. She is just she's very attentive.
Yeah.
She doesn't bark.
Yeah, she's
and we've had people walking in and out. Doesn't bark.
Yeah.
Doesn't show fear.
I think she'd be a perfect adventure dog, I bet. You know, just to follow you around, hop in the car with you and the fam, go up camping, hike a trail. And maybe her job can be keeping those kids on the trail. And,
and she does. She looks kind of like a miniature German Shepherd with a docked tail. But not without the furry thick coat.
Right, right. Really
that you have
coat.
To brush all the time. So how does somebody come down and get Susie?
Well, right now, if you want Susie or any of our other adoptable pets, we're doing everything by appointment, social distancing, masks, all that stuff. So give us a call at 241-1653 to speak to an adoption specialist. Reach out to us via our website, havenhumane.org, or check us out on Facebook. That's Facebook/Haven Humane.
You know what? If I had to go and find Jim and identify him, one way I could do it is with his eyes, and I'd have to put a set of earphones on him. And then I could identify him. I don't think I've ever seen your face.
Not this year.
Not this year. somebody said, "Well, you should go look that up." I said, "I don't have enough time to look up stuff in the dictionary. I'm choosing which mask I'm wearing today, and I've got an assortment." And and they said, "Come back, something cool and." And stylish.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be that Punisher mask. So right. It's stylish.
Well, you know, my eyes are my best feature, really my only redeeming feature. So
hey, I've got
that's all I want.
I have the perfect face for radio, man. okay, so get Susie or going down there. You got plenty of kittens.
Yeah.
You're picking up more dogs now.
Yes.
Have you still got dogs that were lost in the that ran away in the car fire?
We have a few stray dogs from not the campfire, from Zog Fire.
Zog Fire.
Camp stays in our head.
Zog was knocking on the doorstep.
Other end of the alphabet.
Yeah.
But we have a couple strays. Most of the dogs we still have are animals that we know the owner of, and we're just making sure they have their stuff back together before they can take care of the dog again.
Okay. So you're just kind of like providing a shelter
until they
can make some kind of arrangements. Okay,
exactly.
That's great. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot, as usual. And Susie, good luck today. And, Jim, I never ask you this.
Yeah.
I never have. But I'm going to ask you, let me know when Susie gets adopted.
Okay, I'll do that.
You know what? This is a good dog for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So, okay. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with Dr. Pamela DeNuca. We're going to talk. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, Dr. DeNuca is just always got such great information on this disease that doesn't have to be a deadly disease. We'll be right back after these messages.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, healthcare, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by State Granite. Mike Hubert at State Granite has been custom altering homes in Shasta County and beyond for over 16 years. He works by appointment only. He can come in, and what he'll do is he'll just make your kitchen beautiful. You know, so, you're staying in Shasta County. You decide that you want to stay in your home that you love. But you want to do some changes, facelifts. Well, about that kitchen, Mike can do that for you, and he can do a super job. Like I said, he works by appointment only, so give him a call at 241-STONE or learn more at estategranite.com. He did our kitchen, put in all this beautiful granite, and it's constantly getting rave reviews from everybody that comes to the house. He does great work. Okay. Hey, we're here with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka, one of my favorite people. And, of course, she's an oncologist at the Pace Cancer Center. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you always, always have great information for our listeners about breast cancer, or any type of cancer, but especially breast cancer during this time frame. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Happy to be here.
Oh, really?
And thank you for inviting me over.
Well, you know what? We need to have you on. You know, there's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and there's other cancer awareness months. We need to have you on each one of them so you can tell us about it, because it's usually, a year, when it happens. So I always like to hear, the new things that are happening. And your message of hope. I mean, it really is.
See, hope is all that carries us through. I know each one of us recognize it right now, especially so this year. We are all going through this coronavirus pandemic here, and each one of us has to have made changes, modifications, and I congratulate every single one who's being affected by it right now and everywhere, but it is honestly unprecedented thing that we are dealing with. We are very strong already, And I think we'll just go through it. That's what we have to do.
Well, there's no choice. I mean, we've got to, as I say, you've left the airplane. You know, when you're getting ready to, when you're doing a jump, you've left the airplane. So now we've just got to make sure we come down with a good landing and don't break anything.
No, that's exactly what it is. And everybody, I mean, I've met so many people during my, we haven't stopped working, by the way, throughout.
Right.
We made changes in our office too. We, almost 50% of our patients we are seeing on telemedicine.
Uh-huh.
And only the patients who are needing to be in the office physically for their infusions, injections, chemotherapy, or, you know, appointment, mm-hmm. first appointment, we are seeing them in the office. So it's actually reduced the numbers of physical walk-ins in the office, and it is safeguarding the people who are there in our office. So we are very thankful our patients are accommodating the changes. They are working with us. It's great.
Well, it also, if they're fighting cancer, it's also safer for them.
Absolutely.
They don't, the last thing they need is to to pick up COVID.
No.
And people will argue about, you know, how dangerous COVID is and all this. And, you know, frankly, you know, talking to doctors, COVID, and every one of them will say the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, COVID's a deadly disease.
It is. But, and especially for our patients.
Yes.
And so they're all aware, and even the patients who don't have cancer, they're being so nice to each other. Mm-hmm. I appreciate each one of them for being so supportive and working with us.
But we've also got to understand, while it can be a deadly disease.
It can be, yeah.
It's, you know, the American people, while we've had 210,000 deaths, we've had millions that haven't had, you know, have had it and no reaction or minor reactions. Yeah. And so, but we can't ever forget that.
Yes, we should not forget because we have to be aware that each one of us is important and any death is too many. So we just have to be careful and nice to each other and be safeguarding each other. That's all we can do right now because we have to go through this together and all of us have to come out at the other end of this tunnel.
Let's hope that let's hope that our leaders can get it together so that, you know, it does come across like this. But it used to be when a person had breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of like, oh, you know, terrible things are going to happen. That's not necessarily true anymore.
No, not at all, Carl. In fact, breast cancer is one of our prototype cancers which we have done well, actually. And I'm happy to say we have done well. Our mortality is so much less than what it used to be even 25 years ago, let's say. And it's even getting better, you know. Every year, new medicines are coming in. New things are adding to our, support here. And it's making so much difference. People are living more than 5-10 years with breast cancer treatments.
But it's also...
Even after advanced stage.
An advanced stage.
Yeah. The good part is we are able to detect it early, and most of it is curable in most cases. But even if we are not, sometimes, you know, we are unfortunate to detect it late. Even then, they are living well and they are doing well. So it's very small percentage that is having problems. But other than that, I think it's one of our masterpiece there.
Well, you know, one of Linda's friends, close friends, they found lumps in her breast. And they did a lumpectomy. Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly is that?
Lumpectomy basically means we are trying to take enough tumor tissue out to safeguard the patient while saving whatever we can save for the patient. So if the patient has enough breast tissue mass, we are able to do that and patient can retain their original breast as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they may have to make adjustments to the size, but most of the time you can do that and all you have to do is get the tumor out. Early on when we didn't know, this all has come through years of research trials and everything. But when we didn't know, the choice was to get complete mastectomy, get rid of the breast because we are so afraid, we are so scared that it'll come back. And it used to come back because we didn't know any better those days. But as we are learning, radiation has added to sanitizing, if I may, and making the breast safer, remaining breast safer, mm-hmm. so the cancer doesn't come back. And, of course, we do chemotherapies as needed on those patients also. So it makes it easier and people do well.
Now,
overall.
She says that she has like a numbness in her side. Is do they take out, besides that lump, is there other things that they that you have to do?
Some, because if they are taking part of the tissue out, sometimes depending on what they are seeing on the scans, you know, they do the staging part before they do the actual surgery.
Uh-huh.
So if the staging shows that they have a lymph node there, and that's how the cancer is transferred to the body.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the body, it goes through your lymph gland system. Our body traps the cancer cells in the lymph glands and it goes through that and spreads there. So if the, any of the lymph glands are seen enlarged or even there, sometimes they would like to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is positive, the patient may need additional lymph glands to be taken out. That is another, and that can sometimes, because there are nerves around it,
uh-huh.
You know, surgical complications or something can happen, or the surgeon may just require more tissue to be taken out. So it all depends, individual, subjective. But if it is a nervous cut, you will feel that sensation of having numbness in that area. And usually it gets better. It takes about a year or 2 years because nerves are the last ones to get healed. So it takes that much time, but it does get, your nerves regrow a little bit, and that sensation gets better, and you do okay.
What, and so they take, and I've heard this before, is they'll take the lymph glands
mm-hmm.
around it.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly, does that have an effect on the body, those lymph glands being taken out?
Sometimes it's needed in this situation. We
right.
only do it because we are trying to protect the patient and make sure that it doesn't spread through those.
Right.
So it needs to be done, and sometimes they need additional radiation also in that area.
But what does the lymph gland, I guess what I'm asking is, what does the lymph gland do?
Oh, okay. Lymph glands, they're tiny. Normal people, if you're not having any problem, you are hardly able to feel it.
Okay.
They're pretty much not non-existent. You won't feel it, or you'll just feel like a speck under your fingertips.
Okay.
Okay. But in patients or in situations when you get infection or you get cancer or you get any, like even sometimes superficial skin infections can cause that, you may feel an actual lump, nodule, in your armpits.
Okay.
Okay, and that's basically what we are referring to as lymphadenopathy. And it may be one, it may be more than one, depending on how extensive the problem is.
Well, you know, after the show, I say I'm going to do this. I hope I do. I think I'm going to look up lymph glands because you hear about it, but, I go, oh, yeah, the lymph glands. And
yeah.
I'm thinking, well, what exactly, you know, do we have them all over our body?
We usually have all the, where our blood, like from the hands.
Yeah.
It's filtered through them.
Okay.
Blood is there. It's part of our blood system, but it separates the infections sometimes, and it's able to. So there are special tissues. These are special tissues
mm-hmm.
which are there in our upper body, in our neck area, mediastinum area,
uh-huh.
both axilla, both inguinal areas. So where you have the big body parts connected, they go through, and these special tissues are like connective tissues. They're sitting there. Usually, if there is no problem, you won't feel it. There will be, it'll be just.
So wherever the major body parts join, the arms, the neck, the legs,
and the central
system, there you're going to have lymph glands.
Yeah, wow. You have all along your spine in front of the.
Wow.
So it protects. Those are a lot of them.
Yeah. So when they say spread to the lymph glands. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where it gets, I understand where
right.
it's so serious like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here with Dr. Pamela DeNuca. We're talking about breast cancer. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. One of the cancers, if found early, can I use the word cured?
Yes, absolutely. It can,
you can be cured.
Early, if you, any cancer, if it, we can find it early, we can cure it. If it is late, then there are, you know, different situations.
Now there's different things you have to do. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is a locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They are moving local dreams forward during all of this. During this time of our lives. They're still in there punching away, and they're being a success. You can go over to Hartnell Avenue at 192 Hartnell Avenue, the O'Reilly Shopping Center, the main branch, or 1845 California Street. Right here in downtown Reading to talk with them, or you can learn more at bankcornerstone.com. Great place to do business. Great people there. We'll be right back with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka.
Masano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Masano.
Mark's a proven organizational leader in law enforcement who led by example and got things done.
Go with Masano.
This is a new voice for Reading City Council who, unlike others, will work the job full-time.
Go with Mazzano.
My name is Mark Mazzano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, Council Member, City of Reading.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective. That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the City of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall.
This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling a candidate, paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is a beautiful day, a little smoky, but it can be a beautiful day and be a little smoky. Sunrise coming up a little red, but what do we got, like 92 or 94% of the Zog fires contained, I believe.
It is 92.
92%. Is this the latest update on it?
It is.
big shout out to our firefighters out there. You know, you can't say enough about them. You don't think about firefighters.
Actually, it wasn't.
We do think about them.
It says we're actually at 95%.
95%.
As of 6/28.
You know what they're doing now is they're putting out the little fires. Now it's just troops on. It's just now it's boots on the ground where they're hunting it down and putting it out. The vast majority of the firefighters have now moved to another fire, probably down in Napa. And you know you don't think about firefighters, but these men and women are not so young. Some of them, these men and women now, it used to be like a four month job. Now it's something like an eight-month job, and I would imagine unless we do something about cleaning out these forests, because we're not going to do anything about the global warming in the next 4, 5, 6, 50 years, we need to do something about these forests. We're constantly putting people at risk for not cleaning up these forests. So anyway, big shout out to them, and a big shout out to my guest, Dr. Pamela Danuka. She is the owner of and main person over at the Pace Cancer Center. I have learned so much over the years from listening to you about when you come in for our, you know, I hate to say it, but our cancer of the month. But, you know, it's important that we learn about these cancers, especially ones like breast cancer that can be, and I'll use the word, cured. But it all goes back to early detection.
Absolutely. Most of our cancers, if we detect them early, we can cure them. The problem is patient reaching us late or ignoring the early symptoms sometimes. And sometimes the cancer itself doesn't give you any warning. That's also, and it's not the patient's fault. It's just like in pancreatic cancer, there is no early warning. And by the time patients get to realize it, they're already late. So
when you talk about pancreatic cancer, you know, for 2 days afterwards, I look at the symptoms and I think, well, how do you know that? And that's why it's so deadly.
That is one big reason, because we don't find it early on.
Justice Ginsburg fought off pancreatic cancer somehow. She did several years ago. I mean, you know, she died, of course, unfortunately, but she had pancreatic cancer, which is usually...
She did well for almost 4 or 5 years, if I remember.
Yeah, so here's somebody that had pancreatic cancer, but lived another 5 full productive years.
No, she's amazing. I mean, she's a role model for so many of us women. And, she passed away. It's sad, but I think she'll be lighting ways for so many more to come.
It will. Now, okay, so breast cancer, what is the best way? I mean, the self-examination, does that work?
The self-examination, there are two parts to it. In the screening situation, self-examination, the recent statistics on it says it doesn't make much difference because we are able to do screening with the mammograms, and they are much more sensitive in detecting smaller nodules or smaller lesions. So there it doesn't make a huge big impact. And initially we used to do screening for everybody. We used to recommend all our patients to do it. And I still say it doesn't hurt you, right? It's your own body. It's good to know your body and be aware of it. And if you feel anything different or changes, it's just another thing in your armor, you know, in your defense.
Right.
So I still think it's as long as it's not harming you. Sometimes people get anxious, and that's probably why the breast cancer organizations, they have now currently recommended it to be not applicable in the screening situation. But if anybody has any previous history of having either breast neoplasm of any kind, benign or malignant, then they are supposed to do breast self-exam every month.
Okay.
Okay, themselves.
All right.
But not so in the screening, because we are recommending standard mammogram screenings, and they are so much more effective.
Do women with larger breasts do they have more problems with larger breasts? Does that have anything to do with it?
Size matters in the sense, because it's difficult to palpate sometimes. And the other thing is, bigger, apart from the you do the silicone breast. That's a different story.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about that. Yeah.
The real breast tissue, if women have bigger, they are usually bigger themselves too, and that can cause problem in actual having cancers.
Okay.
Because obesity is one big reason in breast cancer. What happens is estrogen is a big culprit here.
Mm-hmm.
The breast cancer is affected by estrogen in our body, and our body makes estrogen not only in our ovaries, but in our fat tissues as well. There is estrogen made there too. So women who are having a bigger body,
mm-hmm.
they can make more estrogen even if they are postmenopausal. And what happens is, in that situation, that estrogen is a fertile ground for cancer cells to grow. So we want to, this is one specific thing is, postmenopausal, the recommendation is to be watchful of your weight, overall weight, and do more exercise, because that tends to decrease your risk of having breast cancers.
Okay, so estrogen, too much estrogen can lead to breast cancer then.
And estrogen, when we do hormonal, actually the big change that happened in this breast cancer incidence was in 2002, when they had this women's initiative study. It was a huge thousands to, I think, 7,000-8,000 nurses study that they came out with, and they found that hormone replacement therapy, which most of the women in their menopausal, postmenopausal were taking for the postmenopausal mm-hmm. symptoms, that was causing more breast cancers because it was providing the estrogen from outside.
The hormone replacement treatment.
So what happened was, once we figured that out, there was a big push on cutting down on the exogenous hormone replacement, especially on people who are high risk. And in now the current guideline is that up to 60 years, if you are, for whatever reasons, if your ovaries are taken out early, you need it, you can still get it. But beyond 60 years of age for any women, right now the current consensus is try to avoid or not have the hormone replacement therapy for them.
Okay, over the age of 60.
Over the age of 60. So that is important because that the breast cancer risk is going up from 50, 60, and 70, and then it starts coming down later on.
Okay.
So if we can reduce their risk at that point, that would be helpful.
The mammogram.
Yes.
That is the primary first line of defense.
Even right now, that is pretty much our first line. We recommend the current screening guidelines. Between 40 to 50, we still have some cases, and they're growing. Some younger cases, younger than 40, most of them end up being genetic motivated or genetic manipulated cases. Some sporadic can happen, rarely. But, I mean, you never say never in medicine, right?
Right.
But usually under 40s, it's more likely to be genetic related. Between 40 and 50, it's increasing nowadays in our population. And usually we used to see always above 50. So the main chunk of breast cancer patients would be between your 50 and 70.
Okay.
And that's when the push to do the mammograms has been earlier on. Nowadays they are increasing if you have somebody in your family having a history of breast cancer. Even first, second generation, then you need to be screened appropriately, even sometimes much earlier, even in your 30s.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Nick, do you have a question for Dr. Danuka?
Aren't you going to warn me about being a smart aleck?
No, I'm...
Yes, I do have a very serious question. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
Okay, listen. My wife died about 2.5 years ago. In 1999, she had breast cancer, and she had one mastectomy just on one side.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was probably 15 years later. It metastasized into her brain and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to another gal, and she said that she had had 4 friends
mm-hmm.
that had breast cancer and beat it, and 10 to 20 years later, it metastasized into their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, have you seen this? Is this kind of a trend? And how did they know it mastocyzed? I assume mastocytes means it traveled from the breast to the brain.
Right. So usually what happens is breast cancer, there are different types. And most of the time, if they are estrogen responsive, your receptive breast cancer, they tend to, usually you don't see them. Let's put it this way. I'm just trying to see how to frame it properly.
Yeah.
So there are estrogen responsive breast cancer and non-estrogen responsive. Let's put it this way. The estrogen responsive ones tend to come back where most of them within 10 years, but we are seeing some as late as 15 years also. Though they are very small in number, we do see them coming back. On the other hand, the non-estrogen responsive ones, such as HER2-new or triple negative ones, those, they usually don't tend to come back after 5 years, the same kind. We think after 5 years, even in breast cancer, estrogen positive, there is some thing that what they're saying is it may be new cancer rather than the same cancer. So now the question comes, how did they decide that this was coming from the same cancer? So I'm assuming somebody must have matched the pathology. When they biopsy the tissue from the metastasis in the brain, they match it to the previous history the patient has. So the pathologist under the microscope would try to match the samples. And another thing that they do is they test the staining. If the sample has the same staining as the previous one, then they would say that this is metastasized from that cancer. If it is a different one, then they would say no, it's
well, Nick, I think, but I don't want to put words in Nick's mouth, but because they caught it and cured the breast cancer, and then it comes back years later in the brain, does that mean that once you have cancer that you are prone then to have cancer?
Of course, those factors which cause these cancer, if they are still persisting, that makes it harder to completely get rid, and there may be a new cancer that can come in another part of the breast tissue. But if we assume that it is the same exact cancer that came, it has been reported. There are cases that I'm not saying it cannot happen, but it's less. And usually, little more, we would say, we are seeing now as compared to, like, before we used to think, okay, 10 years is a lot. And that's how this whole cure word was given, was, like, initially, even right now, after 5 years, most of the cancer, not breast cancer, but most of the cancers, when we are past 5 years of the diagnosis and treatment, we usually say, you're cured from this cancer, and this should not come back right now.
Let me point out, you mentioned that they needed to examine it under the microscope to link the two. My wife had a MRI up at the emergency room when it was diagnosed, and the doctor said it had mastocyzed. So, you know, I guess it was just his opinion.
Yeah, basically they're thinking because they're assuming it, or, you know, they're thinking that because she has a history. But actual confirmation happens only under the pathology guidance. When they are able to compare the staining, when they are able to compare the microscopic structures, then they say, okay, this is coming from that same one. If it
Thank
is
you.
Any different, then you have to say that it is not.
Thank okay. you. You answered my question, and I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry. You know, Nick, I'm sorry. You know,
Don't
me.
Be.
Well, yeah, but I'm, you know.
It's lost.
You know, I hate, you know, to think of people's losses like that. Anyway, we have to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Country Kitchen. Country Kitchen has been in the business 23, 24 years. It could be 25 years. I'm not sure. But it's been there a long time doing just wonderful food. It's open for dining. They breakfast and lunch. And it's just gotten nothing but 5 stars on Yelp or any other place. Anybody that goes in there, the food is outstanding. The bread is baked there. The cinnamon rolls are all baked there. The service is great. They've got people separated there so that you can come in and you're not, you know, so they're doing all the public safety stuff there. But the main thing is The food is outstanding. The prices are great. It's Country Kitchen at 1099 Hilltop Drive, up there in that in the shopping center, right up on the right hand side, on your as you're heading up Hilltop. We'll be right back with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka.
I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land down under?
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. The coronavirus has disrupted much of our normal life in Shasta County. The virus is to be taken seriously for those at risk. However, closing Shasta County has had a severe economic impact on our local businesses and families, and keeping them closed is not the answer. It's time to open Shasta County now. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Paid for by Adam McElveen for Redding City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElveen, Mayor of Redding, and I'm running for re-election to the Redding City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Redding City Council.
This is Redding Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Redding utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit RedingChamber.com or cityofredding.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 1423306.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading where Linda and Trish and many of their friends hang out at. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka, who is an oncologist and is the owner of the main physician, not the only physician there, at Pace Cancer Center right here in town, whom I trust. Yeah, I go to you. I would. I just, you know, God forbid that I see you that way. I'd much rather see you right here. Anyway, you said there's been some advances in cancer therapy.
For breast cancer and for most of our cancers in last few years, we have immunotherapies. And it's a big, big thing. Every patient asks about it. So I think it's a good idea to talk about it a bit in the breast cancer as well. So immunotherapy means basically you're manipulating your own body's immune system to take the cancer down. So first thing to understand is that we get cancer in the first place because the cancer is able to bypass our normal body's defense systems, and they are not able to contain it or take it out early on. But these newer medicines are able to re-recruit your own body's defenses, which the cancer has bypassed earlier, to come back and be able to identify the cancer cells so your immune system is able to kill it. So that's how they work. So they're much more effective. And the bigger part is they're less side effects as compared to the normal traditional chemotherapy that we have given to the patients.
Do they have to draw blood or fluids out of your body and add things to them? Or is it something you just add to the body?
No, we just give it either in oral or IV form. The medicines are given to the patient, just like the traditional chemotherapy.
Uh-huh.
The way they work is they recruit those areas which mm-hmm. have been, like the cancer is able to hide away from our own
right.
defense system. They're able to expose it back.
Okay. Wow.
So when they're able to expose it back, you're already ongoing immune system is able to look at it. Oh, this is something we need to get rid of. And that's how
and
it
And they
works.
Attack from within like
right.
that. So it does have, so it's, since it's your own body doing it.
It's your own body killing it, but the medicine has to be given continuously for them to be able to expose it.
Right. Because it has a very short memory.
Yeah. And it
obviously.
The other problem is that it doesn't have those obvious, usual side effects that we are used to and when we think about chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
but it does have side effects. Every medicine, every chemical you put in your body is going to have some changes it's going to make. That's what its job is. So the side effects from immunotherapy are much more different, one thing. Second thing is they keep happening even after the immunotherapy stopped sometimes.
Okay.
For years. So it's not like you stop it and it's going to go away. It can keep on happening. And more of those side effects are immune-related, meaning colitis, hepatitis, those kind of itis means inflammation kind of situation, and thyroiditis, hypophysitis. So multiple areas of your body can get immune attack as a standard bystander.
But not a killing effect.
Sometimes it can be very rarely, it can be bad enough to have to stop it.
Okay.
Okay, but okay. Most of the time we are able to stop it and restart sometimes, but it can be, and they're deadly. Patient can die because of those. So we have to be, it's not, even though it's a better for side effects wise, sometimes rarely these ones are life threatening and people
Lose
their life.
On the person. And
it depends a lot on right. the if you have underlying immune susceptibilities. That's why they are not. We have to select the patient for who would be qualifying for these immune treatments, and not everybody can get it.
Okay.
I get a lot of patients coming for second opinion. I want immune therapy. I mean, it's not that you want. The question is how we can give it to you. That's one thing. There are certain criteria you have to meet, the markers, all those things have to be done. And only then you're able to get those. And even if you get those, if you have underlying susceptibilities to have side effects, we try not to give it to you.
Okay. Well, okay, we've got to run, but I guess we need to remind everybody that breast cancer can be cured, but it's early detection, and mammograms are the best way.
That's right. Screening always is helpful. Everybody should follow their age-appropriate screening recommendations and be safe and live long.
Yeah. And if you have a question, give Dr. Danuk a call at the Pace Cancer Center at your phone number?
530-247-1425.
Thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Danuka.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me here. It's always a pleasure.
Hopefully, Patrick Jones will be joining us in the next hour.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump wants to try and hold a campaign rally in Florida this weekend. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
The president is eager to return to the campaign trail after being sidelined with a COVID-19 diagnosis. His doctor says he can make a safe return to public engagements on Saturday, and that's when Mr. Trump wants to hold a campaign rally in Florida. It was unclear, however, if there was enough time to make the necessary arrangements. Meanwhile, campaign officials are drawing up plans for possible events in Pennsylvania and Michigan early next week. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Forecasters say tropical storm force winds are now near the Louisiana coastline as Hurricane Delta bears down on the region. In an update on the Facebook page for the National Hurricane Center, Director Ken Graham had these comments.
This afternoon we approach the coast, and this evening we expect the center to be on the coastline, somewhere right there in southwest Louisiana. With time, early Saturday morning, still a tropical storm. So you're still going to have some trees down, some power outages getting up into Alexandria along the I-49 corridor.
The National Hurricane Center said early today the storm was about 160 miles south of Cameron, Louisiana. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has announced its support now for former White House physician Ronnie Jackson's bid for a House seat. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Jackson, a Republican, is a former physician to Presidents Trump and Obama and a retired Navy Rear Admiral. He's running for retiring Congressman Matt Thornberry's open seat in Texas. Chamber CEO Tom Donahue wrote in a statement, "As our nation faces many challenges, we need leaders like Ronnie Jackson." Jackson faces Democrat candidate Gus Trujillo and Libertarian Jack Westbrook in the race to replace Thornberry. The Cook Political Report deems the open seat solidly Republican. Bernie Bennett reporting.
On Wall Street in early trading, the Dow is up just over 100 points, the NASDAQ up by 106. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
A judge has denied a motion to extend Florida's voter registration. Here's correspondent Shelley Adler.
Saying his decision was an incredibly close call, a federal judge has denied a motion to extend voter registration in Florida. That's after a computer meltdown on the final day to sign up to vote. U.S. District Court Judge Mark E. Walker also noted the historical problems the state seems to have with elections. He wrote that just 1 month from Election Day, and with the earliest mail-in ballots already being counted, quote, Florida has done it again. I'm Shelley Adler.
Stocks have been rising on Wall Street today as talks appear to be continuing in the start and stop drive on Capitol Hill to deliver, I should say, more aid to the ailing economy because of the coronavirus. The S&P 500 rose about 0.5% in the opening minutes of trading. It's now on track for its third straight gain. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. One of Asia's biggest asphalt companies is helping Venezuela skirt harsh U.S. sanctions by moving hundreds of millions of dollars on behalf of the state-run oil company, PDBSA. Here's Jeremy Hunt.
Internal documents obtained by the AP show that Thailand's TIPCO Asphalt has been making payments to dozens of third parties at PDVSA's instructions in exchange for cheap oil. The parallel payment system emerged at a time that Western banks have closed accounts belonging to Nicolas Maduro's socialist government. TIPCO said the payments are a standard feature of oil purchases that don't violate sanctions targeting only U.S. companies. But the AP has learned that the outlays are being scrutinized by U.S. law enforcement and the Trump administration. Jeremy House reporting.
Fans of Broadway will have to wait a little longer for shows to resume, at least until late May, according to New York officials. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, his family rolled in last night, and so she's with them this morning. She'll be back Monday. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 9th of October, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. Encourage Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared's at the helm and has got the weather. And an update on the Zog fire.
Good morning. It is currently 53 degrees. Today is going to be hazy with a high of 78 and a low of 58. Tomorrow we have a slight chance of showers with a high of 70 and a low of 53. Sunday is supposed to be sunny with a high of 77 and a low of 50. And Columbus Day is supposed to be sunny with a high of 84 and a low of 52. And currently the Zog fire is at 95% containment. And the glass fire down in Napa is at 74 right now.
Well, that's good for them down there. So, okay, the weather and fire reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson. It gives discounts for seniors and veterans at 365-3793, plus the fact that they've won state-level awards for hiring veterans. So, I know, I love a company that does that. It's Friday. It's the 9th of October, and we have Patrick Henry Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
Well, candidate for supervisor. We have an election coming up in about 25 days. in case you're wondering why people are all excited around here. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You know, there's some people that may not know who Patrick Henry Jones is. I know it's hard to believe, but there could be. So who is Patrick Henry Jones?
Well, I grew up here in Reading and grew up in a family gun shop, which I still work at today. And so I've been in the county for over 50 years. I had 2 years away at Sacramento State University, and I went to Shasta College and Price High School. And I love this area. I don't plan on leaving. In fact, I'm 52 years old, and so my life is half over right now. And so
maybe, maybe. The older you get, the more you think, hey, you know what? It's just a number.
And really enjoying this campaign, and we're having a great time. And I did serve, back almost 20 years ago. I was unhappy with what I saw happening in the city of Reading, and so I jumped in and I ran for city council in 2002 and was elected in 2006. But I went to all the meetings, every single meeting. I had a perfect attendance from 2002 to 2014, and I served as mayor in 2010. And I learned a lot about local government and why it really needs to be scrutinized. And that's essentially why I'm running today for Supervisor District 4, is that I'm unhappy with what I've seen at the county level. We're seeing real frustration going on right now, and I'd like to be a part of the solution and some fixes. And me and my wife, we're going around the district, and we're just having a great time. We're meeting a lot of wonderful people, learning about a lot of issues that are concerning the residents, not only in District 4, but the entire county.
What is the biggest problem facing Shasta County?
Well, right now, I think
in your opinion,
as we get out, it is clear that we have to get this county back open, and that is the number one issue. While back in March, the number one issue was crime, and I still think as this virus dissipates, crime will still be the number one issue. But right now, the handling, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors handling the virus and shutting businesses down. While big box stores remain open, the small businesses are being shut down and some will never reopen. And that is definitely the number one issue right now.
Our latest one is we go back to red today, which means that we from 50% we go to 25%. Outdoor gatherings, church, everything is strictly curtailed. Yet protests aren't, which doesn't seem fair to me.
Correct.
And I think government, if nothing else, government should be fair and treat everybody the same way. Not because of a special interest group or a special group here, or a special group there. It's got to be across the board.
Well, the disease is to be taken seriously for those at risk. But shutting the entire county down, our hospitals are not overwhelmed. The fatality rate with this disease is similar to others, in fact, less than many other diseases that already occur. And so playing favorites is what we've seen. This board seems to be more concerned with listening to the governor than their own citizens, and the folks are getting mad. Every Tuesday when they have a meeting, they're supposed to have public meetings. We have to stand outside the Board of Supervisors chambers. We can't go in. We can only go in one at a time. And whether it's hot or smoky or even if we can't even hear the meeting because of construction noise going on next door, we're getting more and more frustrated with this board. And essentially they're shutting the public out. And it's obvious. And there is a large growing group of frustrated people that I believe after this election are not going to simply go away. I think this group is going to stay around. They're informed, and I think they're looking for positive change. And I see it as a good thing, but I see, a lot of frustration with this group because of the actions of the entire Board of Supervisors.
But you also see comments being made about threats, giving out Dr. Ramsden's home address, people talking about the use of force. What do you think about that?
Well, I disagree with that, obviously. We have to be civil. And unfortunately for a few people, they're so frustrated and upset, those things come out. And I've certainly had threats upon my life when I was on city council, and I didn't take them too seriously.
Sometimes in the station. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But, I don't mean to put light on that. That is so totally wrong.
It's wrong, but I know people get frustrated and they say things, and some of them, it's mainly set out of frustration. And I understand their frustration, but we are not going to be violent. People have the right to come and use their First Amendment rights, but you can't threaten people. And you can threaten to remove them from office and things like that, but not bodily harm. Those are normal things.
But that's just normal.
Correct.
You know what? We're going to vote you out
because
we don't like you and your feet stink.
Correct.
You know what? Okay. but to threaten the use of force is wrong, and which you've just said.
And I agree, and it's wrong. But, when you take a look at a person and their business now is shut down by orders of the county, and that affects their livelihood, that affects their family, they could lose their business, they could lose their home, these are fighting words. These people are not going to just sit back. They've worked, we've worked pretty hard, Carl, as you have here at the station. You work hard. I've worked at our business for over 40 years, and you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that. And when they want to, threaten or they do shut you down, some people are going to push back. And they know that. The board knows that. They're making some severe choices, and they don't have to listen to the governor here in Shasta County. They don't. But what they did do is they took the $19 million COVID relief money, but they only allocated $3 million to the businesses, and then they let the Chamber of Commerce choose which businesses gets that $3 million. But they kept the $15 million. They kept the lion's share of it. I think this entire board should be ashamed at how they're handling this situation. And if they wanted to keep that money, it should have all gone to small businesses. But I would have said, give it back to the governor. Keep our businesses open. We're going to lose far more than $18 million by shutting businesses down. And they're playing winners and losers in this, and there are a lot of people upset, and I don't think it'll go away right after the election.
Okay. We're with Patrick Henry Jones. He's running for District 4 Supervisor. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is the only area hospital with the Da Vinci surgical robotic system, which means it's much more precise, it's less intrusive, which means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Former inpatient surgeries are now outpatient surgeries. Healing starts there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back after these messages with Patrick Henry Jones.
Has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swarth, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Redding. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 1423306.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. And the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance, senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over 2 decades of experience assisting seniors in our community and saw a need for resources to be accessible by everyone. Just go to ReadingSeniorSource.com. That's ReadingSeniorSource.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Zog fire at 98% contained. It's 54 degrees out there, smoky. Going up to 79 today. Is that going to be great? Tomorrow, only 70 on Saturday and 79 on Sunday. Slight chances of rain. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. Very, very, very slight. Don't hold your breath. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody can fix a windshield like Jeff Wurst. Veteran-owned business. He's been doing this for over two decades. Nobody knows more about fixing windshields than Jeff Wurst, and he's not going to mess around with your family's safety. Whether it's a little bitty chip, a very small chip, or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix it. Learn more at by calling Jeff at 241-8373 for an appointment, or just stop by 3208 South Market Street. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We're here with Patrick Henry Jones, who is running for 4th District Supervisor. And the question is, have you ever worn a mask? Do you wear a mask?
Occasionally.
Occasionally?
Yes.
Okay, when?
Well, the other day I got a haircut, and they require masks, and so I put my mask on and got my haircut. And so while I typically don't wear a mask, and I don't like to wear a mask, if a business demands that and I want to go to that business, I think that's up to the business to do that. And if they mandate that you wear a mask or gloves, you would either do that or don't go to that store. I think that's up to a business and to individuals. I don't believe it's up to the government. And, you know, if we allow government to constantly tell us every aspect of our lives, some of you are going to wake up someday working in a coal mine because that's what the government tells you to do. And but if a business, a private business, says they would like you to wear a mask, I believe you need to adhere to that or don't shop there. And I think that would be fair.
I want to there's some things going on here that about Patrick Jones not saying that any type of violence or threats is wrong. And in the first portion of the show, we addressed that.
Yes, I do not support any type of violence. And again, at board meetings and at council meetings, and I've sat on 8 years of council meetings, and it's incorrect to threaten. Any type of violence at a public meeting. It's just simply wrong, and it's not the effective way to make a change. I'm just simply saying that these people, there's a few people that have done so recently at the board meetings out of frustration. It's not correct. It's not right, but I understand why they've done it. That doesn't mean I agree with it.
You know, in a article in the Atlantic, not Atlantic, the Forbes Business Weekly, CEO, chief executive officer of the county, was misquoted, by the way, and I've talked to him since then. But they said that there was an 80-20 chance of civil war, of insurrection, armed insurrection in Shasta County. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't believe that will be the case here at all. I think the good people of Shasta County are quite well, to handle an election. We've had elections, in my life I've seen presidents elected that I liked and presidents that I did not like, and I didn't react to that, and I don't think most people will.
And I would tell you, Matthew Pontes told me he was totally misquoted on that, He has no belief at all that there's going to be civil insurrection in our county.
Yeah, and I don't believe that. You know, there are certainly going to be people upset after this election,
sure.
No doubt. One way or the other, there's going to be a group that will be upset. But I don't think it'll turn violent. I don't think that's the type of people that we have here. And, you know, and so I think we'll have a normal transition of power at the local level. And I'm hoping for that on the national level. And I still think right now it's just a lot of talk. And this is a very heated presidential election, and I think it's mostly a lot of talk.
I think it's going to be – this is a great country that we've gotten through everything, and that there may be riots in the big cities. I mean, but we've been having that since for months now, a broad civil war type thing. You know what? It's ridiculous. I see it. I see nothing like that happening. Let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning. Do you have a question for Patrick
morning.
Jones?
If these highly paid county people would surrender all of their salary, like so many people that put their life savings into a small business that are now closed and the people are bankrupt, it would make a big, better impression. It's a woman that works. Supposedly works for the county. She can go into private practice, give up her $200K a year salary. As far as I'm concerned, I don't even know. I didn't even know who she was until you mentioned it. But why doesn't she and the rest of them surrender their salary? You know, I mean, put up.
Well, I agree.
You know, they're still making it. Everybody's making it around here, whether it's a college or wherever. Social Security office by not working. You know, they're making the same. Meantime, people that put their life savings into a business are broke now.
Okay.
Is that America?
Okay, well, Richard,
you know,
thank you.
Why doesn't she do something?
Well, it's a great question.
Together, I mean, that's a
okay, thanks, Richard.
Thank you. No, I mean, he's got some valid points. There is things that are happening here that are not fair. You know, they're shutting businesses down, and yet you're still paying your taxes. How come you're paying your taxes when you're not allowed to have your business open? If certain businesses are shut down and they're unable to make the normal type of pay that they would normally or the income, would it be fair that the county received the same? And I truly think that, you know, when the board of supervisors is not having a real public meeting, I don't think they should get paid. And they're getting paid while other people are suffering. And I think it's unfair. And I think if it was equal, it might change some of their minds about who's to be open and who's to be closed.
It used to be the county board of supervisors, according to Trish Clark, met every week except for one period in July when everybody took off. Now they're down to 32 meetings a year, I believe is the term she used, which means, you know, the county is not open to listen to their constituents.
Well, and worse than that lately.
Would you change that?
Yeah, well, a couple of things that I would do. First, I would do Wednesday evening meetings, and I'll put that on the agenda to vote on that. And I believe putting them on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, people have to work. So they're not going to engage the bulk of the public. And in fact, it almost appears that they don't want to listen to the public. So I would move it to a Wednesday evening. That would be, you know, probably at 6 o'clock at night. And I think that would be a good idea because the other cities have their council meetings on Tuesday night. And then you could go to your county meeting on Wednesday night. And I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, if the city can do it. And that, you know, I've been sitting here for 10 years, and I always asked anybody that's running for county, why don't you have meetings at night? And, oh, that's a great idea. We'll do it. Well, you know, of course they don't. They've had one.
Right.
And I think that in the morning is just makes it easier for them.
Right. It's easier for staff to have a morning meeting, but it is not easier for the public. But we serve the public. And it should be at night when the vast majority of people are not working. And, you know, most people get off around 5. They could have a quick dinner, get over to the board by 6 o'clock and have a real meeting with real input. That's, of course, if you had a board of supervisors that wanted to hear from the public.
Well, let's just say this, Patrick, say that you do get elected. You're just one vote. How are you going to open the county up? With one vote.
Well, you know, you have to argue your point, use groups of people and pressure in all manners. possible. I did this successfully when I was on the Reading City Council. I was only one vote there, and eventually I could count to two, and occasionally I could count to three. Now, I'll have victories and I'll have defeats, but I'll always work hard on behalf of the people. I'll always listen to the public. You know, I'm not going to be on my cell phone. I'm not going to be distracted when people come and talk. We need to listen. That's not happening today. It's very frustrating for the folks when supervisors won't look you in the eye when you're talking to them. And, you know, you need to listen to folks because, you know, not every person comes with a great idea, but some of them do, and you need to take those seriously.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Nick.
Hey, good morning. Patrick, I've got two questions. The first one is on Jefferson State of Mind and, again, on Sovereign Mines. You said that there's a $60 million pot of money someplace that's been hidden from us. And I emailed each one of our supervisors separately asking them about that, and I didn't get a reply. Can you tell me where that money is, maybe how it's being hidden? And then I got a question after that.
Okay.
Right. Excellent question.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just go past. We'll pick up our break in a couple of minutes. We'll keep going.
So it has been rumored of a special fund, and I've just listed as other because I do not know what it's listed under. You know, being in town for over 50 years, I have friends both at City Hall, in every city in our county and in the county itself, and several people have come forward recently and said there is a pot of money. Now, if I'm wrong, the board should respond and say he is incorrect. There is no special fund, or if there is, how much? But the question here is, if this is true, if this rumor is true, it would obviously need to have an investigation done as to when. What brought this up was recently the board approved a large pay increase to the Shasta County Sheriff's Department, a very large pay increase, a multi-million dollar contract. But yet just in March of this last year, they said they could not do that, and they would need a 1% sales tax in order to give raises and to increase staffing within the Sheriff's Department. But yet, all of a sudden, in a near recession, we're giving a multi-million dollar contract. So obviously the money was there. How much? Who knew it? And we're also hearing the name Larry Lees being thrown under the bus simply because he's not here. So if you're going to throw anybody under the bus, it would be great to do it to someone that's no longer here. So we need a real investigation here. We need to look into this to see, in fact, if this is true, if that amount of money has been set aside inappropriately, who knew what, when, and where. These are serious allegations. They're simply rumors at this point, but I've been hearing them from multiple sources, which leads me to believe that they just might be true.
How can we force the supervisors to address that with us? Maybe Carl could get Leonard Modi on the show to tell us whether there's a pot of gold someplace or not. My second question is, you just mentioned the raises to the sheriffs. Did any of the other county people get raises?
To my knowledge, on that particular contract, it was just with the Shasta County Sheriff's Department. And now, from what I understand, again, it's very difficult to listen to a meeting when you're standing outside of the building with construction noise. It's hard to understand what's happening. You're not inside the building listening and watching. But from my understanding, it was a 27-28% raise over 3 years, the lion's share coming from the first year to the Sheriff's Department. And it puts them slightly higher pay, or at least it will in a short amount of time, than the Reading Police Department. So now what you're going to start seeing is an escalation from both the City of Reading and the county to be the highest paid for retention.
Well, let me point out, if I may, and then I'm going to get off the phone. I checked on Transparent California or some website I go to, and the Shasta County sheriffs were paid higher than any county north of Sacramento, with the exception of Humboldt, where it was just about a push. So them being underpaid in comparison to their other counties, that simply wasn't true. And I went to the Board of Supervisors video for the meeting Tuesday and just listened to public comments, and it was quite entertaining. And I would encourage people to go to that. There's a gal that gets on there at about 17 or 18 minutes talking about the school and how the schools won't tell them about a Rancho Act that they're running the schools by, and Health and Human Services told her that that's not for public viewing, it's for private. Really interesting. So thanks a lot, Pat. Have a great day. Thank you, Carl.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. I've got some facts and figures on the why they did it. And one of it is, and when you ask why were raises given, they have a 4% success rate hiring and retaining staff in this area, 10% turnover rate in the department, 20% vacancy rates, burnout, mandatory overtime, increased stress, a number of these things. It is tough to keep sheriff's deputies here once they're trained because they can just live in the same house and go to a place that pays them more. That was the reasoning behind the raises when people are asking. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. And I tell you what, in this time of our county and our country, with COVID, fires, I'm waiting for toads to fall from the sky, the Sacramento to turn blood red. The year is not over yet, and I understand there's a comet out there someplace. You need good advice when it comes to your financial assets and your insurance. It's open enrollment time coming, and do you have health insurance? What about your homeowner's insurance that was canceled because you live in Shasta County, not because you have a fire, but just because you live here? Judy Maxwell can help you with this. She and her very, very well-trained staff of professionals can help you with the questions that you have. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, or just give her a call at 221-0441. Judy Maxwell Insurance and Financial. She's been helping people since 1993. We'll be right back with Patrick Jones.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
At Paid For By No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999.
5300-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, and it's 8:39 in the morning here on Friday, the 9th of October. 59 degrees out there, going up to, 79 today and 70 tomorrow. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Northern Firearms Instruction is bringing you this portion of the show. They teach in over 40 different spots in the state. It's probably one of the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. They provide CCW training, defense of the home, shotgun, personal defense shotgun, tactical rifle, unarmed combat, if that's what you're looking for. All of this falls under Northern Firearms Instruction. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We're here with Patrick Jones, Henry Jones, who is Patrick Henry Jones. Someday we'll have to have a discussion about your father naming you that.
There is a story on that.
I'm sure there is. And maybe you should take a minute and get that. In fact, why don't you just lay it out for us?
Well,
Patrick Henry Jones,
when my grandfather had three boys, he named them Marshall, George, and Frank. And so when my father had three boys, he was going to name them the same. And so he did, Marshall, George. But he was so upset with his brother, Frank, he couldn't do it. And he'd been reading about the Constitution and some of our founding fathers. And he had just read an article about Patrick Henry. And so in 1968, I was named Patrick Henry Jones.
There you go. Hey, yeah, there was a citizen's arrest the other day. And he arrested everybody.
Yep.
But I'm not sure exactly how this works, but it looks like he had all of his paperwork filled out.
Yes.
And so he arrested a citizen's arrest of the whole entire Board of Supervisors and the county council. Have you ever heard of this happening before?
Yeah, I actually have heard it before. So we've seen across the country all kinds of different things. And again, this is from a group of people that are super frustrated with this board. And it really appears that the board is not listening to the public in their time of need. And if there was ever a time of need, it's right now. And so feeling like you can't do anything, this was something that an individual could do. Now it'll go on to the DA, and we'll see what happens from then. And if a lot of people call the DA and put pressure on her, it's quite possible that maybe some action, if there's merit to what the arrest was for. And certainly people have the right to make a citizen's arrest when they think that crimes have been committed. And that's what this person did. Now let's see how it plays out. There was no violence.
Of course not.
There was no threat of violence.
No.
He did something that he was able to do, where people are feeling very frustrated with this board.
You know, the frustration level, we have to talk about the fact is that, points that you've made, many, many other people have. Now, there's other people on the other side that will say, if everybody had just worn masks like they were supposed to in the first 2 weeks, which, that was 6 months ago, we wouldn't be facing this today, that, science shows blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. And yet I, if we're going to use science, let's use it. Let's use science. Let's look at statistics. Let's look at how many cases come from eating at Country Kitchen. How many cases have come from eating at C.R. Gibbs? If we're going to do that, let's use statistics for everything and not just saying that, whoa, Lowe's and the big box stores, they should be open, but, you know, we'll socially, you know, distance and all that. I haven't seen where small businesses are the reason that there's spikes in anything.
Well, you know, and I think this disease entered our area back in October and November of last year, and certainly people were getting sick then. I had some friends that traveled to China, and when they both came home, they both got flu-like systems. One of them was a nurse, and many of the nurses at that hospital got flu-like systems as well, symptoms as well. So it's been circulating for quite some time now, and sooner or later, you know, again, it's a serious disease. It's highly contagious. People at risk need to take precautions. But that's things that we do in our own lives. You can wear gloves. You can wear masks. You can stay home. You can do all those things. But don't force your businesses to close and ruin our economy. Some of these people, their businesses will not recover, and they will leave this area never to return. And that's wrong. That's wrong of local government to impose that type and these types of regulations on these businesses and arbitrarily shut them down while the big box stores stay open. It's ridiculous, and people are tired of it. The frustration level is brewing. We see it at the board. If you go to those meetings or try to listen to those meetings, you'll see it. And this board is not responding well. And they're acting like, well, this is a really tough time. Well, you've made it tough. You've made it tougher than it needed to be here in Shasta County. And we don't need to listen to the governor on this one. The governor would just assume everything be shut down. And we're not going to do that. And I really hope in the future that we don't return to this type of behavior in this county.
Okay. We're here with Patrick Henry Jones. Going to take a quick break and be right back.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, healthcare, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz, the state senate. ID number 142-3306.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train going.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Time's 8:48 in the morning, and it's approximately 55 degrees out there, going up to 79 today. Tomorrow, 70 degrees. Sunday, 79 degrees. It looks like sunny. I keep hoping that there's this slight, very slight chance of rain coming down here, finishing off the Zog Fire, which is at 98% containment, but giving us some needed moisture here. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Anderson business, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're here with Patrick Henry Jones. Okay, Patrick, we've talked about what's going on and what has been, all these things, but we need to be looking forward beyond this. What is your plan looking forward that you'd like to see Shasta County go?
Well, there's been some talk out there with, certainly on the national level of defunding the police and things like this, and I'm absolutely opposed to that. Not only with the Sheriff's Department, I want more sheriff's deputies. I want more firefighters. I want less government control. I want less fees at the county level, and I want less regulations. We can build our economy back up. We'll have to, and as we do, we'll be able to be in better financial shape. The county, in my opinion, is not sitting very well. For example, with regards to underfunded pensions, we're at $534 million underfunded. Now, we would never do this in the private sector. Companies don't allow that type of debt. That is bankruptcy type of debt. But yet it seems in government circles, both with cities and counties and with the state, that this is acceptable. But the taxpayer now is on the hook for approximately $20 million plus for the next 20 years to pay this off. This is unacceptable. That doesn't mean I can't support public safety or fire, because I do. I have a degree in administration of justice. I'm post-certified, taken lots of EMT classes, and I really value the work that they do. But we have to manage a budget, and we have to grow the economy. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I believe it's time to do it now.
Okay. As we know, it takes three. So do you have a specific plan? I mean, do you go in and what do you feel about zero-based budgeting at the county level?
So, when I first got elected in 2006, I was obviously new. I didn't know a lot. I read everything that I possibly could. I read every staff report that I ever could many times over to learn. And then I started realizing that when you want something that might be a different way of thinking, that you have to use everybody in the community to put pressure on the others to do it. And I was pretty good at that. And while the others did not know it was particularly coming from me, if it was an important issue to me and I wanted it to move forward, I would use every group that I had available to use to put pressure on the other council members in that case to get what I wanted. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But you try. And there was lots of issues, and I tried hard. And that's the work you do behind the scenes to try to be effective to improve your county. And, county supervisors every 2 years, they're changing. I believe I will win my race. And when I do, the last three out of four supervisors, the incumbents, would be gone. And so there is a trend with the county supervisors that the public is unhappy with the work that they're doing, and they are getting voted out of office at a high rate. And I believe I'll be a part of that.
Okay. Homelessness, drugs, and my favorite one is the Veterans Hall downtown You know, it's the city's trying to clean it up down there, but we've lost the parking. We've lost all of that down there. How would you address that?
Well, so I want to take a little tougher approach on crime and than what I've seen. Sometimes well-intentioned things that governments do can be enabling this behavior. And, you know, I grew up in this town, and we didn't see this problem 20 years ago. We have allowed it to happen. Some of the issues are out of our control. How much money homeless people get is out of our control. Our warmer weather is out of our control. That is conducive to outside living. Some of those things we can't control, but we can control illegal activity. And when someone does something illegal, and just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're doing anything illegal, but if you're camping illegal and dispersing trash and various things, those are illegal acts, and you have to be held accountable for those. And those people should be arrested, tried, and convicted, and do their time. And we have to be tougher than what I think we've seen here in the last 20 years. And some had said that, well, that's not very humane. That's not a great approach. Well, the reality is, for a lot of these folks, if you put them and incarcerated them, it's a lot more humane than being on the streets in Redding at 110 degrees. And it also helps reduce their addiction to their drugs and various other things that some of them may be on. And so, in my eyes, we have to be more aggressive. And I think the businesses and the homeowners in this area are asking for that. You know, if you take a boat ride on the Sacramento River, look at all the encampments that you have, and it's really showing poorly on our city. And we don't have to tolerate that, but we do have to act upon it. And if we can get our budget under control and stop spending out of control, then we can hire the correct amount of personnel to help fix these problems. And if it means building a new jail, then I would support that as well.
Right now, our jail is almost 50% of the available seats. It's held by convicted felons.
Yes.
that the California penal system will not take because of COVID, and it's getting worse every day.
Right, and they passed a law a few years ago where we couldn't send these folks out of town either, which could have helped us out greatly. And so, again, there are some things that are out of our control, but there are things that are within our ability, and I think we have to address those today. It's just like the CalPERS debt. Most people have said, well, you know, that's a problem at Sacramento, and they have to fix it. Well, they're not fixing it, and it's affecting the quality of our county, and so we have to fix it. We have to roll up our sleeves, work with the labor organizations, and fix these problems and get our budget under control. When you have a budget that's truly balanced, then other opportunities start opening up.
The county has fire problems, as we know. How much of it is the county's responsibility to clear out these forested areas, underbrush areas, and all this? Some of it is owned by the county, some of it's owned by the state, some of it's owned by private citizens. What would you do?
Well, clearly, the amount of fuels out there are the issue with regards to fire, and we've seen what's happening. Our towns are burning down because of it, and whether it's the United States government's land or state of California or county, one way or the other, we need to clear it up. And, that's what I do personally on my own property over the winter. I cut and burn, and it's tough work. Our firefighters work hard. It's incredibly tough and hot work.
Should they be out there being very proactive on this?
Correct. As we get our budget under control, I would like to double our Shasta County fire protection and have crews that are just going out clearing and maintaining brush in key critical areas. Again, we can't rely on the state or the U.S. government to do it. They're not doing it. We're burning up, so we have to do it ourselves. But we cannot add extra personnel until we get this budget crisis under control. And I think we're way undermanned with regards to fire. There's way too much fuels. And, again, we cannot wait on Sacramento. We have to do it ourselves. And I'm willing to do that, and I'm willing to spend the money and the resources and hire the people to do it. But you've got to get your budget under control. You can't simply say we're going to do it when you have no ability to pay for it. The taxpayers are already stretched to the limit here in this county, and we have to control this budget and really prioritize the $570 million that's received by the county.
If I have to pay for my business taxes and, you know, to have my business and it shut down, Why should I have to pay those taxes?
Exactly. I mean, that's a pretty good argument. You know, the county has shut you down, so you don't have to pay taxes during that time. They probably wouldn't shut you down as much, would they?
Patrick, we got like 2 minutes. You know, your final thoughts here.
Well, thank you, Carl, for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity, you know, getting an hour on local airtime, and you've done this with all the candidates every cycle, so I appreciate the opportunity, and I know the other candidates do too. You know, in this race, you know, I was the top vote getter in the March primary, and I do believe my message is getting out to the public, and I think we're connecting to the public, and I do believe I'll win this race. You know, we just have two different types of individuals within this race, and I encourage people to go to my website, go to my Facebook page. You can email me at patrickhenry@live.com, or you can even call me at 222-3223, and you can ask me questions, and people do every day, and they come by and talk to me, and then I try to act upon those. And, you know, because the issues that people have are really, you know, the key, that we don't just brush people off because it's a tough or difficult problem. These are the things that supervisors have to do. We have to fix and solve problems, and that's what I'm here to do. I'm having a great time. Me and my wife, like I said, we've really enjoyed campaigning. We've had a great time. I wish we had more debates. I really, and we only really had one forum, but I really like having debates. I think it really shows the public what you have in candidates, and we missed that this time, and so I hope that returns.
And for people that have said, okay, you're giving Patrick an hour, why don't you give – you've given Patrick two times here. Steve Morgan was on once. Why aren't you giving Steve that time? I've asked Steve face-to-face, and he says he does not want to come on again before the election, that he's too busy. And I just want – you know, this is not casting aspersions on anybody. I just don't want people to believe I'm just, you know, hey, I'm having Patrick Jones on. But trust me, everybody – we've invited everybody on, and everybody, for the most part, has wanted to take this hour to explain their positions.
Well, we're all very busy, but I think it's really important. You have a great opportunity.